On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless.
All right, big day for the North Melbourne Footy Club. Alistair Clarkson deciding to step aside from the senior coaching position to get his health and well-being together in the face of what's been going on since really September last year. So Dr. Sonia Hood's been good enough to join us, the president of the Kangaroos. Sonia, welcome to you. Nice to see you.
Thanks, JB. Lovely to be here.
Now, how are you going, by the way? I suspect, and we've chatted a lot, that before you took this role on, you thought there'd be some tough moments around it. Did you ever think it'd be this tough?
No, I did not. I did think there'd be some tough moments, and there have been. That's absolutely true. I've got to say the last 24 hours has been pretty challenging.
So how is Clarko going? He's as tough a man as I've ever met, by the way, in my life. And, you know, through sport you meet some tough people, yes. Alan Border, et cetera. He's up there with as resilient and tough a person as I know. So for him to have to relinquish a role that he looked you in the eye and said he's going to take on behalf of this great club, how's he going?
He's going every bit as you'd imagine him to be. It was a pretty, really hard decision for him and for Karen to come to. And I've got to say I've got an incredible amount of respect for both of them for having made it. I think sometimes we let toughness get in the way of acknowledging how we're actually feeling, and the real toughness in the man is to stand up and say, I need help. And that is about the toughest thing you can do, I reckon.
No, I don't disagree with that for a second. I saw Chris Fagan quoted as saying, this deeply flawed process we've been subjected to. And Sonia, that comes out of a shambles of a report commissioned by the Hawthorn Football Club and a mess that they've just landed on the competition. What are they doing to fix it?
Yeah, what a good question. I'm not sure about that. I know the competition's doing an awful lot to try to fix it, but we're in a process now that we're 8 months since that report did land, and that's an awfully long time in which you can't defend yourself. And actually, that's a long time for everybody in the process. It's a long time for the people who told their stories and haven't properly been heard. It's a long time for the people who've had allegations made against them and haven't been able to defend themselves. And it seems to me there are an awful lot of people who've had opinions through this process. But actually, we're not very far forward in terms of understanding what actually happened. And last week, the chairman of that tribunal put out a three-page statement defending himself. He's had more opportunity to speak than any of the people who've been accused in this
house. All right, so you were faced with finding a new senior coach. Quite rightly, you went to the best coach the game's seen in the last 40 years and asked him if he would like to think about potentially coaching the North Melbourne Footy Club. During the course of all of those discussions, the Hawthorn Football Club was sitting on this report. They knew its contents, the board. Did any of them give you a heads up that you might want to just be aware that something could become public at some stage?
No. That we did our due diligence, and I want to be really clear, given the decision, I'd make exactly the same one again, and I would hope...
Even if you had that knowledge?
If I had had the opportunity to do the due diligence that we did after the allegations became public in order to understand what we were dealing with, yeah, I'd have done it again. I think Alistair is a really good coach and a really good person. Let me reverse the order of that. Alistair Clarkson's a really good person and a really good coach. I'm not going to presuppose the outcome of this process. Everybody has the right to be heard and the right to have a process. But if we're going to not give people an opportunity off the basis of untested allegations, what kind of system are we in?
I 100% agree with everything you're saying on it. It would have been a handy thing to do, though, if they'd have just said, by the way.
I wouldn't have minded if they'd done it the week it became public. The first time I heard from anyone from Hawthorn was after Russell Jackson had published his piece on the ABC. I watched it unfold in a meeting 2 days earlier between the AFL and between the Hawthorn Footy Club, in a meeting that we were all in where everybody was pretending it wasn't happening, and it was. We couldn't work out what was going on. We thought someone must have got into trouble at the Brownlow the night before. And, of course, that wasn't what was going on. It was this story. I heard about it from the AFL. I never heard about it from Hawthorn until after it was in the public domain. I would like to think that if that was my club, I'd have done the opposing club president the courtesy of a call. I should also say, though, I've heard from Andy Gowers today. He's one of the first people who rang me this morning. I'm very grateful for that call and for the conversations that we've had today.
So the footy department have now got to move on. And one of the amazing things about the game is there's a game of footy coming up this weekend, and you've actually just got to get on with it. You've got some incredible people. I thought Todd Viney spoke brilliantly today on behalf of the club. You've got Brett Ratton to step in, who's an amazingly accomplished senior coach in his own right. So those are two good results, but how's everyone going within that department?
Everyone was shocked this morning, and I think everybody's reflected on the fact that Alistair's been coming to work for the last couple of months wearing, in his words, a mask. Mm. And no one wants anyone in their workplace to have to feel that way. So the first thing is everybody is absolutely in his corner to make sure he has all the time he needs to be able to come back and be well. In terms of the footy department, we didn't just change the coach last year. We changed the structure of that department. There are a lot of people who have stayed, but we've had some really handy additions. And the focus on the whole club is people and on making sure that we're not ever tied to one person driving our success. So as important as Clarko is and as good as he is, he'll step out, he'll take the time he needs, and the guys will pick up with the system. They know what the system is, they know what the plan is, and they will keep going.
Was there a tipping point? We saw him have a go at Hawthorne a couple of weeks ago. Do you think there's been a tipping point the last week or so?
I reckon it's a bit like boiling the frog, to be perfectly honest. You know, you don't know it's getting worse until all of a sudden you look down and your legs are ready to be served on toast. I think there's been an element for him where this has just kept going and there's been no ability to speak back. He's lost friendships over it. He's had increasingly acrimonious relationships with a place that he spent 17 years of his life.
Four premierships.
Last week with a group of under 18s, he told a story that he's told heaps of times before. Everyone's heard him tell it. He tells it. It's a story about growth. And firstly, it's leaked. Secondly, it's reported by several reporters as him having a go
at Sam Mitchell.
Because that's the lens that everybody's looking at stuff through now.
Yeah, which is a shame. And that's why it's so sad. But it's a big call from Clarko because you know him too better than I. But he loves footy and he loves his players. And to make this call, it's bloody sad.
It's really sad. And what he said to me yesterday was, I want to feel the love again, and I'm not doing the right thing by the players. I can't stand there, and if I can't give my all, it's not the right thing by them or by the club. And I want him to know, and I told him this yesterday, mate, as good as you are, and you are good, we'll be right, because we've put in place with you this system, we'll be right. You go and take the time you need. You've got all the time in the world to do what you need.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question now as a North Melbourne fan, 17-18-18 the last 2 years. Now, first two games a win, and then what, six in a row or seven in a row? I actually don't know. Seven. How patient are North Melbourne fans going to have to be?
Yeah, pretty patient, I reckon. Pretty patient, but I think it's like everything. When it turns, it'll start to turn quickly. We've had a lot of change in 4 years. We're all aware of that. I can't undo that. It is what it is. We've brought in the best coach of the modern era, arguably the best coach of the modern era, and a really good team around him to fix it. It's incumbent on all of us to sit back and let them do that job. We're not going to not hold them to account, but they know what they're doing and they're ambitious. And there are some things, we've talked about this before, you can't fast track games into kids. You've just got to let those happen. There are probably issues that people are dealing with, having had so much change in the last 4 years as players, that habits that they've got to relearn or get out of their system. And that plan and that game plan have to click and with those players, and that'll come. It'll come.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Because you've had your own battles, issues to deal with. And
I honestly can't recommend cancer. So if anyone's got that on their life list, I'd take that off. Yep. But if you do have to have it, it is... we are in a seriously first world health system here, and B, you find out how many people love you, and that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah. Is there a chance that Clarko mightn't coach again?
I would be, there's always a chance, isn't there? But no, I am really confident he will be back in coaching the North Melbourne Football Club. We were talking about a step away yesterday. We haven't put a time frame on it because I don't want him to feel any pressure. I don't need everybody in the world's media lining up at the club on the day that he's supposed to be back. And because actually there's no game plan for this. We aren't. We can't pull out the, you know, last time this happened because it hasn't happened like this before.
What about the resolution to it? When are we going to finally get this thing resolved so that all parties can move on, do you think?
Well, the person who needs sitting in this seat to ask that question of is Gil McLaughlin or Dills. One of those will answer that question for you.
Have you got a feel for that?
I reckon it's probably close, but I've been saying that for a while now. And again, the resolution's part of it, but the damage that's done by 8 months of silence and of the things that have gone on in the background, that's going to take longer to heal. Mm. The thing I'm asking is that at the end of it, the game steps back. As an industry, we step back and look at that and say, how could we have done that better? Because everybody went into this, I'm sure, with really good intentions. There are things there we could have done better.
Yeah. How do you boil a frog, by the way?
Slowly.
No one's ever boiled a frog.
That's a segment for you during a quiet week, isn't it?
I tell you one great thing, Doctor, is that players' priorities and coaches have changed because it was all football, football, football. Now I reckon it's health and or family and then football, isn't it? Yeah. It's changed over. Remember, a bloke wouldn't play because his wife was having a baby. Mm. And we'd all go, oh, you can't do that. You can't do now. So, yeah, we have changed our priorities, which is something good about the game.
I reckon it is good about the game, but you know what? I reckon the game's just learnt what the rest of the world has, which we are as a species, best at what we do when we are happy.
Mm.
And if you can't work on people's happiness first and foremost, then the rest of it is just a waste of time.
There you go, Jim. Happy wife, happy life.
Well, thank you for coming in, by the way. Good luck with everything that's coming up, especially this weekend, because we're going to be covering that game.
North
Melbourne, Sydney.
Sydney.
Be south. And I'd like to be seeing the Kangaroos greet the judges, Doctor.
Yes.
Well, if, you know, I'll go back to the club now and say, listen, fellas.
Yes. Step in.
Yeah. Great to see you. Good luck.
Good luck with your new car, your new Mazda.
Thank you very much. If you're not driving a Mazda, what's wrong with you?
Very good point.
Dr. Sonia Hood, president of the North Melbourne Football Club on the Rush Hour, Triple M.